This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a very special guest, a long-term colleague and friend, Dan Collard. Dan is now the Chief Growth Officer at Team Health. He's going to talk about trends in the business, advice for leaders, some of the leaders he's worked with, and more. He'll give some feedback, some input on Team Health, but won't advertise Team Health. But Dan, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. Dan Collard, of course, as you referenced, I'm the Chief Growth Officer at Team Health. I'm celebrating my 25th year in healthcare this year, as it turns out.
And tell us a little bit, Dan, you're with a remarkable organization. Tell us a little bit about what the Chief Growth Officer does. How does the Chief Growth Officer look for growth?
Well, you know, you can look, take a look at growth at some of the obvious routes there with adding new business. You can take a look at looking for organizations that perhaps want to partner when they need a larger platform, when they're not quite as scaled as a Team Health would be. And then, of course, probably one of the most important elements today in growth is growth by retention, making sure that those clients whom we already serve really continue to feel like we bring value and bring alignment to their own strategy. You know, when you hold on to the folks with whom you've been doing business with for so long, it makes it a little easier to think about the growth curve.
Sure. It's not one step back, one step forward, or just trying to keep up. It's you at least have a base to build on. Just quickly again for the audience, what lines of business is Team Health in? I know the biggest business leader issue is the ER business, staffing ERs, also anesthesia. What businesses is Team Health in? And I might have that wrong, but tell me what businesses Team Health is in today.
Well, no, you're exactly right. So we're one of the largest emergency room providers in the country. We staff hospital medicine programs. We also provide anesthesiologists for perioperative programs. We also provide a post-acute practice. Medical directors seeing patients out in the skilled facilities, the post-acute facilities as well. And then a couple of specialty lines in the hospitalist space, orthopedics, general surgery, and OBGYN.
Thank you. And I know you've grown in some additional areas. ER, it's still a place where you're, I think, one out of every six or seven ER visits in the country is done by a Team Health physician, some significant percentage like that. What are some of the big trends or concerns in the business? At some point, I've heard you talk about surprise billing legislation. Maybe talk to us about two or three of the key trends in the business of at least ER staffing or hospital-based staffing, or the relationship between hospitals and staffing firms. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, you bet. When you think of the term the continuum of care, it's one of those things where you hear it thrown around a lot. But today, if you're going to provide some hospital-based services to an organization, you really have to think about how you align to the continuum of care of an organization. So if the patient comes through the front door in the ER as an entry point, now how well do we do handing that patient off into the hospital medicine program? And then once the patient's ready to be discharged, if they're not going to be discharged to home, how well are we managing what that post-discharge or post-acute environment looks like? And I think more and more, as you've watched this space, you've seen organizations like ours really move to that ability to help manage the entire continuum.
In our hospitals and health systems, more prone to outsourcing than ever before, or less prone to it for hospital-based services? What's the general tenor there, if you could talk about that?
Sure. If you look at the pendulum that's swung, which they, you know, the pendulums tend to swing in healthcare back and forth, just like the employing of physicians, that's a pendulum that swung, you know, both ways over the course of the last couple of decades. To your question about hospital-based services, more and more you see the pendulum swinging to hospitals looking for partners to outsource hospital-based services. It's a real clear identifiable trend in the industry today.
That must be terrific for the business of firms like yourself that are in the sort of hospital-based space. So that's fantastic. I think we'll move now to a number of questions about leadership. What thoughts do you have on leadership qualities? What's your best advice for leaders from some of the things you've seen and learned over the years?
Sure. And I'll use both Dr. Massengale as Quint as great examples. You know, Dr. Massengale, as you shared, has such a great reputation in the industry and in business across the country. And he's a reason that I think we're able to continue to attract more than our fair share of clinicians. As sort of proof in the pudding, we provided about 13-14% of all the emergency department visits in the country last year. And yet we recruited 21% of all the ER residents coming out of residency. And you only do that when residents come out seeing an organization that is still to this day physician-led. Something real special about Dr. Massengale, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary as a company this summer, which is a real rarity in the industry itself. But to think that we still have folks like Dr. Lynn Massengale and Dr. Randall Dabbs, two of our five founders, still playing a very active role in the company. That's something real special for us. Of course, you mentioned Quint. Had the most wonderful opportunity to work alongside Quint Studer and the entire team from the earliest days of that organization. And watching Quint today doing what he's doing, whether it's helping build vibrant communities, his work with the baseball team as a real economic engine in downtown Pensacola, and something he's probably most excited about, the early childhood development for America's early learning cities. You know, when I think about it, it's really the proof in the pudding that high performers just transfer learning easily. So it's that same foundational message, that similar message that we used for all those years to help healthcare organizations get so much better. Now Quint's out and applying that in communities across the country.
Thank you. And I know you've had great experiences with them and yourself as a leader. Any specific leaders that you admire and why? And we can't talk about Dr. Massengale or Quint because you've already talked about them. My fault. But any specific leaders that you admire?
No, you know, it's funny when you think about sort of combining the best advice for leaders. I always think about the best advice I get is typically something I've learned from a leader. So if I'm going to give advice for leaders today, I just say real simple, be authentic. If there's anything that an employee, family, or associates can sense a mile away, it's when a leader just isn't authentic. And so when you think about illustrating that, what's that look like? You know, there was a book out a number of years ago called The Knowing-Doing Gap. And I use a phrase often when I speak around the country called the saying-doing gap. And what I tell the audiences that I get to spend time with is when the gap between what you say and what you do gets too big, people stop listening. And so as I think of, you know, that I've learned, and if I maybe go from a leader to a mentor, I've got a dear friend, Jim Edmondson, down in Pulaski, Tennessee. He was my very first boss in healthcare, as it turns out. He actually invited me into the industry 25 years ago, and we've had the good fortune of having our paths cross in so many ways. And, you know, from that authenticity perspective a while ago, Jim's without a doubt one of the finest community hospital leaders in the country. They win best places to work. They've been recognized for their quality. Their employee engagement is amongst the best. And when I think about so why, it's because Jim really illustrates that authenticity that I mentioned just a while ago. He walks the walk of putting his teams first, always having a genuine sense of humility, and really just never forgetting why we show up to work every day and reminding folks of that. Because things, and yet as we know in our industry, can get pretty hectic and they can seem like things, you know, aren't going the right way. And he's got a great way of reminding folks why we showed up and swiped our time cards in the morning.
That's fantastic. And Dan, another question. You've been at this for some time. You always show up with just a great temperament and a positive focus on doing things. You know, this concept of the doing gap and the saying gap, you don't have that. You do what you say you're going to do. How do you keep yourself motivated now and over the long period of time that you've been in business?
You know, it's a lesson I learned a long time ago. A couple things. Remembering that the only person that owns my motivation is the face that I saw in the bathroom mirror this morning when I was getting ready to go to work. And then thinking about if I own my own motivation, I've got to make sure others feel the same way. But it's not about preaching a sermon about motivating folks, or, you know, the rah-rah that sometimes we feel like folks need. What I feel like sometimes our most fundamental role as a leader is to remove or reduce the demotivators that get in our team's way every day. And so owning my own, helping others by reducing the demotivators, it's sort of just, you know, it keeps the flywheel turning there. And then others, you know, watching others succeed with all the negativity sometimes that we can get wrapped up in the world, it's easy to forget that there's so much right that happens every day. And if I had to pick one little element out of there, it's in our industry, it's so fun to watch young leaders blossom. You know, we know that our industry is in great hands with this next generation. I mean, there's a lot of headwinds in the industry these days. There's some things that we're specifically facing in the hospital-based physician services area. And knowing that we've got these young up-and-comers, and more specifically, watching these clinicians that have chosen to become leaders as well. So knowing that it's not just about having an MD or a DO or an RN or a CRNA on the name badge, but realizing it's their turn to sort of step into that leadership. That's I got to tell you, that gets me going when I meet with these new young leaders, even coming through Team Health specifically with all of the effort on and focus on leadership development, leadership engagement.
That's fantastic. And a final question, Dan, if this year goes well for you, what does that look like?
I mentioned some headwinds a while ago, and I think it's always good to have a pretty good dose of reality as we think about the tail end of 2019 looking interestingly different than the first part of 2019. You know, right now, there's some interesting things going on legislatively that's got the attention on this prevention of balance or surprise billing. And so I think a couple of things are real key for us to remember. Number one, take the patient out of the middle. Number two, let the payers and the providers have healthy, substantive conversations between themselves without the government imposing or setting rates. And so there'll be some interesting things that happen in the next 60 to 90 days legislatively. But if I sort of define success, we get to the end of the year, we look back at 2019, I think a couple things are really clear. Patients remain our focus. We retain an even higher number of our great clinicians and keep them from burning out. And our client partner organizations continue to see the real value in our partnership. You know, that's another thing that's really happened in our industry is you've sensed a real move from the vendor transactional relationship to one of strategy. Because if we're not aligned with our partners and our client strategies towards quality, value, experience, financial health, then we're just a commodity. So if you think about putting patients in the center, keeping them as a focus, retaining our clinicians as best we can, keeping them from burning out, making sure that our client partners see us as a strategic partner and not a vendor. Those are sort of the real seeds for growing a company, I think, and that's what we'll see by the end of this year.
Thank you very much, Dan. Just a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you.
As always, Scott, thanks.